We are engaged in a preaching series entitled Just Like Jesus. We kicked it off 2 weeks ago. As you'll recall, we looked at that compassionate heart of Jesus. And last week, we looked at the worship-hungry heart of Jesus. And today, we'll consider yet another character or aspect of the heart of Jesus, and that is a forgiving heart. When it comes to becoming more and more like Jesus, I think we can all agree is forgiveness is one of those areas where we need to make some more progress. We need to do a little bit better. Forgiveness is not easy. It's not easy. I don't think it was easy for Jesus, and it isn't easy for us. How often do we hold to the hurt and the bitterness and the pain that someone else has inflicted on us? When we have been wronged, what is our typical first response? I'm going to get back at them. I'm going to get even. Forgiveness doesn't seem natural for us. We have to work hard at it. And in many cases, let's be honest, we don't get it right. Perhaps that's why Jesus included forgiveness in the Lord's Prayer, because he realized how much we struggle with forgiveness. But Jesus, wow, you want to talk about a forgiving heart. He had an awesome, perfect, forgiving heart. And if we could just have that kind of heart. I mean, picture this. Jesus is being nailed to the cross. He's being nailed to the cross. He's crying out, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Not just once, but over and over again. He's crying out to the Father those words. While Jesus was dying on the cross, the thief asked Jesus, who was next to him, to remember him when he entered the kingdom. And with that forgiving heart, how did Jesus respond? "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Today, we're going to look at some of the teachings of Jesus as well as some examples from his ministry that I think clearly show that Jesus had that perfect forgiving heart. And if we want to be like Jesus, then we too have to have a forgiving heart, as hard as that can be, and it is hard. I want to read from our text today. It's from Matthew, the 18th chapter, verses 21 through 35, for a message entitled, A Forgiving Heart. Matthew chapter 18, beginning with the 21st verse. Hear now the word of God. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that they had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out and he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a few hundred silver coins, he grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called in the servant. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. In our text today, Jesus is being questioned about forgiveness. Peter is questioning him about forgiveness. And Peter asks him, "Well, how many times must I forgive a brother who sins against me?" Peter goes so far as to suggest, is it up to seven times? And Jesus responds in verse 22, "Well, no, Peter, it's not seven times, it's 70 times seven." Jesus, who understands forgiveness perfectly better than anyone else, responds to Peter that, "Peter, you know, you're trying to quantify forgiveness, and you can't do that." And that's our first point today, that forgiveness has no limits. Forgiveness has no limits. Think about it this way. When you're mad at someone about something and you choose to hold a grudge instead of forgiving that person gets to live in your mind rent-free 24/7. They may not know you are upset. They may not have had intentionally offended you. Maybe they didn't even know about it. They're probably not sorry for it in the least bit. Maybe they are deceased and unable to apologize. But either way, you are losing sleep. You're mulling over this and you're being concerned about it. And it's taking up your time and your thoughts and all those things. And it's bringing resentment to you. Instead, you should give it up. Put it in the Lord's hands. Be released from the prison that you find yourself in by holding that grudge in the first place. Jesus tells Peter, Peter, you're trying to quantify forgiveness and you can't do that. Because forgiveness has no limits. It has no limits. It does not keep count. It reflects God's mercy. And let's face it, friends, we are pretty good at keeping score. We know when we have been offended. We keep a mental record of those who have wronged us. And while you may think that doesn't really bother me, it does. Because forgiveness is hard on us. It's hard on us physically. It's hard on our body. It's hard on our soul and our spirit. The rabbis of Jesus' day, they believed forgiveness should be extended three times, and that was it. Peter comes along and says, well, maybe not three times. How about seven times? And Jesus says, you both got it wrong. 70 times seven. In other words, it's unending. There's no way you can quantify it. And Jesus basically says to Peter, you got it wrong. You keep forgiving because God keeps forgiving. And aren't you glad that he does? To help Peter and the disciples understand forgiveness a little better, Jesus tells this story of the unmerciful servant. And in the story, the king forgives an unpayable debt. The servant owed the master 10,000 talents. That is the equivalent of millions of dollars today. There was absolutely no way. Absolutely no way that this servant could pay this debt back. But verse 27 says, the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Now here is the point. Forgiveness reflects our grasp of God's grace. Forgiveness reflects our grasp of God's grace. The king forgave an unpayable debt, representing God's forgiveness of our sin. When we recognize the depth of our forgiven debt, we become gracious to others. We become forgiving of others when we recognize how much God has forgiven us. We often say that Jesus paid a debt that he didn't know, and that we had a debt we couldn't pay. Well, the first part of this parable is about God who is forgiving. Forgiveness is Christ-like. It shows the world who we belong to. And our God forgives, and he forgives, and he forgives. Many times in the gospel, Jesus spoke about the forgiving nature of God. And perhaps one of the most famous is the story in the story of the prodigal son. We know the story well. The younger son who asks for his share of the estate, and his father grants it to him, and he goes off and he squanders the estate with wild living. And each day the father looks for his son to come back home, hearing what has happened to him. And of course, the son comes back home. The father embraces him, throws a party, and sounds like it's going to end well, except, of course, the older son. The older son who remained faithful to his father and continued working the land and continued taking care of things. And he's not all that thrilled that there's a party going on. The father was willing to forgive. He was extending forgiveness. He wasn't keeping a record or a track of how many sins his son had committed. His forgiveness was unending. And it represents the forgiveness that the father grants to you and me. But friends, many times we're like the older son. We're not willing to forgive. We think the younger son's gone too far, that he's denigrated the family name, that he's squandered the family's wealth. Why should I forgive him for that? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Forgiveness reflects our grasp of God's grace. And the father in the story of the prodigal son was willing to forgive, but the older son wasn't. He'd become lost in his unforgiveness. Robertson McQuilkin says this. He says, the sin of unforgiveness is a cancer that destroys relationships, eats away at one's own psyche, and worst of all, shuts us off from God's grace. Unforgiveness shuts us off from God's grace. In the parable of the servant was forgiven a debt that he could never pay. And you would think that that would make him grateful and thankful and gracious and willing to extend mercy. But when he finds someone who owes him just a few dollars, he's unwilling to allow that grace and forgiveness to flow through him. He begins to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe me. And his fellow servant begged for mercy, but instead of receiving mercy, the servant is thrown into prison. Here is the point. The sin of unforgiveness is real. The sin of unforgiveness is real, and it mars our witness to the world. You know, we have people today, followers of Christ, who say, I will forgive, but I will not forget. I will forgive, but I'm not going to forget. And such an attitude is not Christ-like and certainly hinders our witness to the world. I am convinced that unforgiveness is a sin that we don't want to admit to, but boy, does it grieve the heart of God. Because we're more like the older brother in the prodigal son story than we want to admit. The man in Jesus' parable was forgiven a debt he couldn't pay, but he refused to forgive someone who owed him just a few dollars. You know, when God forgives us, he remembers that sin no more. Psalm 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so has he removed our transgressions from us. Jesus takes away our sin, and he casts them in a sea, and then he puts up a sign that says, no fishing. Right? God removes our sin from us, casts it as far away from us as possible. Scripture says of God in Jeremiah and in Hebrews that he will remember their sins no more. What do we say? I'll forgive you, but I'm not going to forget. And God says, I will remember your sins no more. In a book, A Forgiving God in an Unforgiving World, Ron Davis tells this true story of a priest in the Philippines, a much-loved man of God who carried the burden of a secret sin he had committed many years before. He had repented, but still had no peace, no sense of God's forgiveness. And in his parish was a woman that deeply loved God and who claimed to have visions in which she spoke with Christ and he with her. The priest, however, was a little skeptical. And so to test her, he said, the next time you speak with Christ, I want you to ask him what sin your priest committed while he was in seminary. The woman agreed. A few days later, the priest asked, well, did Christ visit you in your dreams? Yes, he did, she said. And did you ask him what sin I committed in seminary? Yes, she said. Well, what did he say? The priest asked. And the woman responded, he said, I don't remember. What God forgives, he forgets. Not so with us. We struggle with that. That's why forgiveness is so hard for us, because we want to hang on to that memory. We want to hang on to it. We don't want it to happen again. And what happens is we become enslaved to unforgiveness. And it leads to our next and final point from Jesus' parable on forgiveness. The point is this, that unforgiveness brings judgment. Think about that. Unforgiveness brings judgment. What happens in the parable? Word comes back to the master that the servant whose debt he had forgiven refused to forgive a minor debt of a fellow servant. And so he called him in and he berated him, saying, you wicked servant, you wicked servant. After all I did for you, you couldn't show mercy on your fellow servant. And so the master turned him over to the jailer to be tortured until he could pay back all that he owed. And remember, he was never going to be able to pay back all that he owed. Unforgiveness, it brings judgment. Refusing to forgive puts our relationship with God at risk. In Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgression." The servant's refusal to forgive demonstrates the hypocrisy and the consequences of withholding mercy. Forgiveness is both a gift to others and an act of obedience to God. A gift to others and an act of obedience to God. We are guilty of offending other people, and we've all been offended by other people. That's the reality of living in this world of ours. But as Christians, we're told to be forgiving people. And I believe it's impossible to live a victorious life with unforgiveness in our life. It isn't the offense that destroys the relationship. It's the inability to forgive that destroys relationships. Unforgiveness is a poison to the soul. It's a sin that locks the unforgiving person in their own self-made prison. It's as bad as being enslaved to mind-altering drugs or to alcohol. Unforgiveness is a sin that will destroy us. It's a sin that will destroy you like an incurable cancer. It's a sin that causes bitterness in your life. The Bible warns us very clearly about bitterness. Look carefully, the Bible says, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up causing trouble. And by this many become defiled. Hebrews 12:15. The word bitterness comes from a Greek word, pikria. There we go, pikria. It's used in the book of Acts as a condition of extreme wickedness. It means gall of bitterness or bitter gall. Romans 3:14 says it's a mouthful of cursing and bitterness. And Ephesians 4:31 says it's bitter hatred. We don't want that bitterness to grow up in us. We don't want that root to take hold in our lives. It's like a deadly poison or venom. It doesn't do us any good. Jesus said, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Forgive him. So that your Father in heaven may also forgive you and your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. You know, God's not going to hear our prayers when we have unforgiveness in our life. People say, oh, I don't get mad, I just get even. Don't expect your prayers to be answered if that's your mindset. People mistakenly believe that bitterness and refusal to forgive will make the other person suffer, but it doesn't. It's the unforgiving person who suffers. Someone has said forgiveness is agreeing to live with the consequences of another person's sin. It's costly. We pay the price of the evil we forgive, yet we're going to live with those consequences whether we want to or not. So our only choice is either live with the bitterness or to turn it over to God. And that's how Jesus did. He forgave us. He took the consequences of our sin upon him. And he did so without reservation, without qualification, completely, perfectly. Forgiveness is extending mercy to those who have harmed us. Chuck Swindoll is one of my favorite pastors and authors, and he tells the story of a seminary student in Chicago who faced a forgiveness test. Although he preferred to work in some kind of ministry, the only job he could find was driving a bus on Chicago's south side. One day, a gang of tough teens got on board and refused to pay the fare. After a few days of this, a seminarian spotted a policeman on the corner. He stopped the bus and reported them. The officer made them pay, but then he got off, and when the bus rounded a corner, the gang robbed the seminarian and beat him severely. He pressed charges, and the gang was rounded up, and they were found guilty. But as soon as the jail sentence was given, the young Christian saw their spiritual need and felt pity for them. So he asked the judge if he could serve their sentences for them. The gang members and the judge were dumbfounded. "It's because I forgive you," he explained. And his request was denied. But he visited the young men in jail and led several of them to faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus ends his parable with a warning. "So will my heavenly Father do to each of you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a choice we make, rooted in understanding of what Christ has done for us. And when we forgive, we declare that grace has truly changed us. Let us forgive as we've been forgiven and walk in the peace that comes from a clean heart. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing, Jesus pleaded as the nails were being driven in to his hands and his feet. In a moment of human weakness, Jesus didn't sin. Instead, he gave unselfishly of himself and his rights to grant others something they didn't deserve, forgiveness. So do I struggle to forgive? You bet I do. And I suspect you do as well. But just as Christ forgives those soldiers and me, I have the choice to look at the person who hurts me every time and wrongs me and think, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. I don't know about you, friends, but I want a heart like Jesus, a heart that's able to forgive perfectly and completely every single time. It's not easy. It's a work in progress. And I need the power of the Holy Spirit working in me to continue to shape my heart to be just like Jesus. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. Lastly, we want to make the comment that forgiveness is not about absolving others of their wrongs. It's about aligning our heart with God's heart. God is merciful, he's compassionate, and he's abounding in love. And when we forgive, you know what? We reflect those qualities to others as well. Those divine attributes are seen in us. Jesus' teaching on forgiveness are not theoretical. They are deeply practical and relevant to our daily lives. In fact, in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Acknowledges our own need for forgiveness from God every day and our need to extend forgiveness to others every single day. As followers of Christ, we're called to embody his teachings on forgiveness. That means letting go of grudges, releasing those who have hurt us from the debt of their offenses, and seeking reconciliation whenever possible. We may need to forgive repeatedly, yet with each act of forgiveness, what happens? We grow in grace. We grow in grace and we become more and more like Jesus. A forgiving heart. Jesus had a perfect forgiving heart. May we be just like Jesus and have a heart that overflows with forgiveness every single day. To the praise of his glory, amen, so be it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus who forgave perfectly every single time. We thank you for the promise that when we are forgiven, our sin is removed as far as the east is from the west. And you call us, Lord, to be forgiving of others, to not keep score, but to follow the example of Jesus. And to model the heart of Jesus to forgive perfectly and completely every time. Father, we recognize that this is a work in progress for all of us. But this is a grace that will so impact the world when they see our capacity, our willingness to forgive. So, Father, help us to continue growing in that grace, to have a forgiving heart, a perfect forgiving heart. Just like Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.